All right, here we go. No, I think that Jonathan, the Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness is like so excellent. They do like Eli such a good job. Yeah, can you hear Shoshana?
Does that help? Does that help? Does it help sound wise? Can you hear me?
For a moment, you were on beat with the GarageBand metronome.
Hell yeah. I've got so much to pull up on my laptop for a second because I have to have my WhatsApp open now. Okay, mm-hmm. I've got that. My phone's not connected. No, my phone's connected. Okay. Well, this is a roller coaster. I need to find my trauma. The thing that you sent me. You guys.
Yeah, I made the Google Doc this time.
That's crazy. You just knew I was having a week, didn't you?
I guess so, yeah.
You just instinctually figured it out.
Eli!
Eli the sound guy.
His phone's not on silent. It's amateur hour.
Oh, wait, shit. I don't have a pop culture. Because it's a week.
I
thought of one earlier and then I forgot.
What? Why are you having a week? You're always having a week.
It's just my existence is having weeks.
Yeah.
No, me too. It's not a bad week. I just like, it was like, we were supposed to record Monday.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't do Monday, so we changed to Tuesday. And then we couldn't do Tuesday, so we changed to Wednesday.
It's been, that then, part has been a week.
And then I forgot that I had something on Wednesday, so then I had to do, like, it's 10 past 7.
On Wednesday.
On a Wednesday night. And, like, I have stuff to do when I go home.
I do, too. I have to edit this
lunch.
Podcast.
I haven't, like, been off today. Like, I've been in class. I went out for lunch because a friend wanted to meet up.
Wow.
I learned how to write the letter bet with a feather.
Yeah.
I have to email back my aunt.
I also have to send some emails tonight. You learned to write the letter bait.
I learned to write the letter base.
Congratulations.
It was great. It was a good time. Literally, I wrote, I was like, shit, it's exhilarating.
It's so fun.
It's relaxing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just repetitive, and it's also just like, I made letters with my hands, which I know I do every day because, like, I write English. But, right. Like, it's different when it's, like, I've got a feather in my hand.
Yeah.
I'm dipping it into an inkwell.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, bam.
You're writing so on calf skin.
Yeah, it's crazy. My mom's like, why do you want to do this? And I was like, why not?
It's so good.
It's so fun.
This is exactly the reaction that Rachel Faber and I had to
so
this.
Fun.
Like, we turned to each other the first class and yeah. We were like, this is the best.
It was so good.
I love something tedious, art-based.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm still pulling out my BCB list.
What else was I going to say about So Fruit? Dove is, like, such a lovely person.
It's really great.
Okay. Should I do my pop culture moment first?
You do yours because I'm hoping that my good one will come back to me.
Okay. Should we also do the actual intro to the podcast that we like haven't done
for
like
ages,
weeks?
Ages, bro. Yeah, we can do that. Thank you, Eli. You go first.
No, you
oh,
go first.
Oh, I go first. Wow. Okay. It's
we
been
don't
so
ever
long.
Do this.
Welcome to Pop Culture Parsha,
where we irreverently discuss reverent texts.
Amazing. Woo! We haven't done that in so long.
We're back, baby.
Okay, now you do your. To be honest, we haven't gone anywhere. We just kept forgetting to do that.
Yeah.
You go first.
Okay. I'm Valerie, and this week I'm people who make cakes but complain about it on TikTok. Are you in this TikTok niche?
Complain about making cakes.
It's
is
like
it the one. Is it that one account who makes cakes for a living and all they do is complain about their customers,
right?
And the business choices.
Yes.
And then yeah, I'm on that. It's just it's one account. It's not people in general. It's Mamash one account.
But I'm so confused because it's always on my feed, so I
always
assume that it's multiple people.
Same.
But yeah, it's like it's just her like making a cake, but then it's like over the cake video is like these things about like customers just being annoying.
Also, like a lot of it is just her being a bad business person.
Yeah,
like so much. But I'm like, you could have avoided this in so many ways.
Well, right, like one of the things was like that you pay for the cake tasting or not, and somebody was like trying to get out of paying for the cake tasting. I was like, you should just have them pay for the cake tasting up front and then like discount the cost of the cake.
Yeah.
Buy that much when they buy the, I don't know.
Just like, just I don't know. Like part of it, like so much of the stuff is I'm like, okay, you've had a business for 5 minutes and you haven't worked out the nitty gritty details yet.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'm like, I don't know. I'm also on a different cake TikTok. I'm on a few.
Oh, you are.
I'm on that one.
Yeah.
I'm on the one of, you know, Jill. She goes, hi, my name's Jill. And then she like bakes a cake.
No.
I'm on Jill TikTok. And then I'm on the one of this, like a woman who starts every video by going, hello, loves. And then she bakes the cake. I lied. I'm on another one as well.
Oh my God. Okay.
And then I'm on.
You're really on cake so TikTok. Many cake.
And then I'm on an Australian one. And she starts every video by going, okie dokie, like that.
Oh my God.
And then she describes like how she's making the cake and why they're making it. That's them like, I like,
yeah,
like it's fun because it's not complaining about their customers. It's like,
right,
how fun is cake making?
Yeah,
that's.
I don't actually find making cakes to be that fun, but I'm glad that other people stress enjoy it.
But like, what do people call ice cakes? I'm like, damn, that's
yeah,
cool. You know,
yeah. Do your pop culture moment.
My pop culture moment is just like how bloody well Holes was adapted into a movie from a book.
I quit. It's
genuinely one of the best book to film adaptations I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ever.
As like, I actually haven't seen the movie. I've only read the book.
What?
Yeah.
Valerie!
Because I usually hate book to film adaptations. And I was like, I really loved this book.
Eli, Valerie's never seen Holes.
Cora?
That's Valerie!
Okay, we'll watch it sometime.
That's crazy.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm not a huge Shia LaBeouf fan. And
is anyone?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's a big Shia LaBeouf fan.
He is. Remember that time? Okay, Shia LaBeouf
Buff.
I take it back.
His fans should be called Shia LaBeouf Buffs.
Or just Shia LaBeoufs.
No, I like Buff Buffs.
Okay, I take it back. My pop culture moment is that time Shia LaBeouf sat in a movie theater, yeah, and watched his entire filmography and had a camera on him the whole time, and how happy he was when he watched Holes. Like, because you could, like, yeah, figure out, like, it said, like, what he was up to, and he was just so happy watching his, like, Disney stuff. What a time.
Did he also watch all of Even Stevens?
I think so. I think he was also happy in Even Stevens, like, watching it.
Wow.
Holes is so good. I've been talking about this for, like, the past 2 weeks, or, like, yeah. Holes is a thematic subverted sequel to the story of Honey Hamargel. They both involve holes.
Circles.
Or circles that summon rain, essentially, by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like rain is a big part
of it. Wait, Claire wore that costume to Gila's class today?
Yeah.
What was Gila's reaction?
She loved it.
That's so funny.
Because she knew that Claire went for Purim as Honey.
Yeah.
And then Claire joined the class and was like, I'm just going to come. Like when we do Honey on the last day. And they go, yeah, like, please do. Anyway, Holes or Circles about like a subversion of like to bring around rain.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Two, the idea of like familial generations being a big part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
You see it a lot in like the second half of the story, which is like after the rain stuff, you've got like he falls asleep for 70 years.
Right.
And so there's this recurring theme of like the Carib, farmer and his son, and then Honey goes back and he's like, is my son alive? And they're like, no, but your grandson's alive. Anyway, it's like this recurring motif. And you've got that. You've got so much. It's subverted though, right? So if like for Honey, the circle making and drawing eventually leads to his downfall, i.e. he like begs for death from God and dies. But for Stanley Yelnats, the circle making or the hole digging leads to his redemption and the redemption of his whole family. That's why it's inverted.
Yeah, I get it.
I am like dead ass willing to just full on write an essay about this based on like how we learned Honey and Gilla's class and the movie Holes. It's so cool.
Great, I love that for you. And this is not a podcast about Holes or Pony.
So that's the other thing. I think we should have a sequel podcast once we've done a whole, instead of doing like another rotation of like another
thing. Another round of the Parsha HaShavua.
Exactly. We finish this, Bizras Hashem, Kam Simchat Torah. And then we start doing Talmudic stories.
Okay.
Or like other Tanakh stories.
Right. We could go into Nach. That's what a couple of my friends that I went to BCI with just finished. They like posted on Facebook that they've been Hevruta for the last 2 years and now they've finally finished studying together like the whole like homage. And then Isaac Landes, who's one of the rabbis here in Jerusalem, was like, and he was like the one who like made them Hevruta originally. Shout out Oliver. I think he listens to this podcast. But Isaac was like, I'm so proud of you. The most important thing is that you start on Yehoshua as soon as possible.
I think there's so much in Nach. There's so much in Talmud. And like, again, we could learn honey from Gila and then we could watch holes.
Yeah.
How exciting that is. How fun that is.
Great. Sure.
Super fun and exciting.
Gila could come be on the podcast.
Yeah. I told David Shapiro that if he comes up with something, he could be on the podcast. By the way, I hope that's okay.
Oh, fine. Yeah, no. He can be on the podcast. There was a point where it was like everybody wanted to be on the podcast.
Yeah,
but
it was really funny.
No,
I think it was like two people.
He just has to change his name to Rachel legally.
It's true, Rachel David Shapiro.
Yeah,
Shapiro with a C. That is, you guys.
Okay.
Well, he's really adamant that you say it's
with okay. C. So you did your pop culture moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he wants you to hear the pronunciation of the C in Shapiro.
Yeah, because it's S-C-H. Everyone always misspells it as S-H, but it's not as S-C-H.
I just think if other people always spell your name, like maybe it's spelled wrong.
No.
That was like all the Alyssas that we had.
No, everyone spells my last name. Everyone spells all of my names wrong. I get double N, disgusting. I get an H at the end, also disgusting. I get E-I-B at the end of my name for Gottlieb. E-I-B, I before E except after C.
Yeah, but that is like a rule that's been disproven over and over again. There are more exceptions to that rule than follow that rule. No.
You should always do the rule first and then wait to be proven wrong.
Uh-huh.
100%.
Okay. I really can't identify with this because people usually spell my name right. Sometimes they spell Valerie with a Y at the end.
It's disgusting.
Listen, I'm not that offended.
I would be. They don't spell Brown with an E at the end?
No, sometimes they ask. If there's any at the
end. I'm going to do that just to annoy you. I'll spell your name wildly wrong every time I message you.
My mom had a friend whose last name was Easter, and not Jewish.
Shocked. Shocking.
That was something my grandmother always used to do. If I ever mentioned a friend from school, my grandma would be like, what's their last name? And I'd be like, Ellie, you don't know them. and they're not Jewish. We live in California.
Oh my God, I had this conversation with my friend Simone, which is like, I said my friend, and Simone was like, who is it? And I was like, it makes no difference to you.
Yeah.
Because if I say the name, you won't know. And she goes, oh, okay. And I'm like, shut up. Like,
meanwhile, she has like on her wall, just like all of like, honestly, photos, the like one paparazzi friend, photos.
The one friend I like, that would not surprise me. Like in the slightest, she needs a name to go and like match it up against her database of names that I've mentioned in the past.
Yeah. Anyway, my mom had this friend whose last name was Easter. And when people would ask her how she spelled it, she would say it the same way you do, which I thought was nice.
Nice.
Shoshana, what Parsha is it this week?
It's Parshas Teruma.
You can't count this as the time before we mentioned the Parsha because it includes all of the other time that we're going to cut
how
out.
Long is it?
Eli.
How long is it?
Well, I stopped it. It's going to be in two files now. So I stopped before when I was messing around with it, but now we're at 18 minutes.
Hell yeah.
I think we may have gone a full 40 without mentioning.
No, because like truly like a good 10 minutes
of talking
about
shit that we were going to cut out anyway. Yeah.
Haha, you'll never know who we were talking shit about.
I forgot to do chabad.org/nutshell.
Shoshana. Like a well-oiled machine.
/nutshell. That's bloody funny. Okay, Elia summary. Let's go, baby.
Truma.
Okay, Truma. So first Elia comes up. God tells Moshe that he has to like collect stuff from the Israelites to make the Mishkan, and which is a sanctuary or a tabernacle, and they need different metals, they need wool, and they need like wood and olive oil.
I have something to say about tabernacle.
Have you already interrupted
me? Yeah, because tabernacle is one of those words that there's a translation in English, but it literally just means the same thing. Like tabernacle doesn't mean something different than Mishkan. It's like tefillin and phylacteries. Exactly. Yeah. Like they both mean the same thing. Why is there another word? I think it
should be pronounced tabernacle. I just think that. I think it should be called tabernacle. I'm going to put it out there.
It just sounds like a barnacle.
At Oxford English Dictionary. Tabernacle. That's the official pronunciation now. That's like every time. I always tell the story. I had a teacher, like a lecturer in uni, who was talking about, like, it was in a film studies class, and was talking about the Chinese diaspora, like diaspora communities. And every time said it as diaspora. And she wasn't Chinese. And so it wasn't like this was how the Chinese diaspora pronounces diaspora. This was just like some white chick who was pronouncing diaspora wrong.
Putting the emphasis on the spore.
Well, it's like, I guess she'd heard it like in the context of diasporic. But was just saying diaspora. And every time I was like, I need you to stop. I'm physically ill. Friday morning, 8 a.m. film studies class, where like two-thirds of the class was us watching a film in the class. And that's when I started drinking coffee to stay awake in the class. But I obviously wasn't used to coffee because I didn't really drink it before. It was my first year of uni. And I'd drink coffee before I'd go in and then sit still in class and take notes. And I'd vibrate.
Oh, my God.
Like, my hands would shake, my heart would pound. I was, like, having a heart attack every week. Anyway, tubernacle.
Tubernacle,
great. Oh, so it sounds a bit like tuberculosis.
Both things, barnacles and tuberculosis, that I don't think we want to be associating with the Mishkan, but...
Anyway, and then God gives, like, the dimensions of the tubernacle and all of the different kalim vessels in it. And there's the ark that has the luchot in it, and, like, there's rings on the ark, all that stuff. Okay, anyway, it just keeps going into detail about all the ark. And the next is the table, the shulchan, where they put... What I think is a great word, which is in English showbread.
Yeah.
Which is just bread for show.
Don't the Kohanim eat it afterwards?
Yeah. But basically they had 12 loaves of bread.
Yeah.
For the
12 tribes.
Exactly. So they had like the instructions for that. Then we have the branches of the menorah. I remember from year 6. How complicated the menorah was, because it gives like really interesting details about like how it has all of these decorative flowers and like knobs and cups, and it doesn't really make sense like to visualize it, and we like really struggled with that. And then it's about all the tapestries, because they had like a bunch of things that they dyed. This is the parsha that the tachash comes up, because we don't really know what tachash is or like what it looked like, so we don't really know what those hides look like.
Dolphin skins.
Or giraffe, some say.
Interesting.
Some say there's a guy, Natan Slifkin, who says that...
Biblical zoo, Natan Slifkin.
Yeah.
We've mentioned him on this podcast before.
I really, like, he, again, like, Mythical Creatures, great book. I think he changed the name, though, when he released the second edition. Anyway, giraffes, he argues, could have been the basis for a lot of unicorn mythology. This idea of, like, a beautifully patterned animal with like a little horn, like, you know how like giraffes sometimes have that bump in the middle, anyway, it's really interesting. Cool book, highly recommend.
Cool. I guess that makes more sense than dolphin skins, because the question is like, where did they get the dolphin skins?
In the desert.
Well, and like the Mediterranean Sea, like, I don't think there were. I actually made a joke about this in our Chumash class the other day. I was like, they went extinct because of their skins being used in the Mishkan.
Like, legit.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where they kill all the bison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Anyway, and then it talks about like the walls of the tabernacle, and where it has to face, and like how long it is cubit-wise and all of that stuff. And then it talks about the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and that's where the Ark was going to be. And then they had like the Holy Chamber outside of that, and then they had like the courtyard. And then you need curtains to, like, in between all of those things. And then the courtyard... They had the big Mizbeach, or altar.
Yeah.
Inside there was a little one. And there was also outside, there was, I don't think this is in the fifth parasha maybe, but outside there was also like a washing station almost, where you could like wash your hands and feet before service to God.
Did you look at the virtual Mishkan model?
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's super cool. On Al HaTorah, you can find a virtual Mishkan model.
So basically it's just like super... half straightforward, half like, how am I supposed to visualize this, of like, what does the Mishkan look like and what do the things inside it look like, or a bunch of the things inside it look like. Super interesting. And that is Truma.
Great. So this week for our pop culture pairing, we chose The Lego Movie, 2014 computer animated adventure comedy film.
Woo-hoo, 2014.
Here we go. I'm looking for the summary. See, this is why I don't like Wikipedia, because it doesn't have a very like clear summary. It has like a lot of people's names.
I don't have reading comprehension skills, so I kind of like Wikipedia.
I'm sorry. You read the Chabad.org Aliyah summary every week.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
based on the Lego line of construction toys, its story focuses on Emmett, an ordinary Lego minifigure who helps a resistance movement stop a tyrannical businessman from gluing everything in the Lego world into his vision of perfection. Voices include Chris Pratt, Will Ferrell, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett, Nick Offerman, Alison Brie, Charlie Day, Liam Neeson, Morgan Freeman.
You know who you didn't mention who's also in it? Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Wow.
Channing Tatum is Superman.
Amazing.
It was great. It was a good time.
How fitting. What did you think of the movie?
I forgot how much I liked this movie. I saw it when it came out, and it's just so fun. It is such a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's also, like, brilliant to watch, right? Like, it's... like, I wrote the dumbest note in my notes.
Please tell us.
I wrote, this sounds so dumb to say, but the way it uses Lego is so cool.
Yes, I basically wrote the same thing.
But, like, the idea of, like, I was reading on, like, the IMDb page, except for Will Ferrell's character, except for his headpiece of like the ornate head and wig pieces, they only use pieces that you can find in real life Lego sets.
Wow.
And so everything they did was made with like real Lego, and you could see it a lot with like, he had fire that came out of his shoulder pads.
Right.
And you could see that it's basically stop motion, but it would go between like the small fires and the bigger fires. You could see when they had like laser guns, the pew-pew parts, like the laser parts that came out.
The pew-pew parts.
That's what they used in, like, the Star Wars Lego sets for the lightsaber. Like, the fact that I could recognize pieces that my brother had growing up, because he never let me use his Lego.
Oh, wow.
The little tracker piece. Yeah, all that stuff. Like, it was so fun.
I just loved, the way that they did water was so cool. Like, any liquid was, like,
and it
sick.
Looked like the ocean was awesome.
Yeah.
That effect. And also him in the shower was really cool. So smart, like so well done.
Right. It makes it really fun to watch because it's like, they use the Legos in like a really fun way.
I think my favorite trivia thing that I read was that Morgan Freeman's character, like what's his name? Vesuvius.
Yeah.
His staff is a lollipop because apparently like a lollipop stick, because apparently most lollipop sticks will fit in
Lego's hands. Yeah. Interesting. Speaking of hand holding, when Wild Style, Lucy, and Emmett like end up together at the end of the movie, you notice that they like avoided the kiss. Like, it's just like Chicken Run, where we were talking about how like they didn't have the chickens kiss because they were like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same with Legos. They like have them hold hands instead of kiss at the end, which even the holding hands is weird because it's these two like weird little lobster claws. Yeah. Like,
it's such a fun movie. Wow.
Also,
I was gonna say like one of the best, I described it as like sort of the meta reveal, like dream within a dream vibe of when it's like its switch into live action is amazing. And I remember watching it like in 2014 and being like, I did not see this coming. Like, you don't expect it at all, and it just adds such depth to the story. And it makes sense because it's like the plot is absurd, but it makes sense when it's like a child's playtime.
Totally.
And it makes sense when it like incorporates things like the lollipop sticks. I don't know, just like that reveal of like that world setup is fantastic. And then it does the back and forth between, you see Will Ferrell like super gluing them all in the live action. And then it switches to how the Legos are experiencing it.
Yeah.
In their story.
Right. I thought that was really interesting because it also feels like a real dynamic of like the tension of Lego, that it's like these really complicated things that you can build and you have like the exact right pieces, that which is obviously, this is the parallel to Truma, is like it's like this very exact all these pieces that have to fit together in a certain way that then make something that's really cool. But then the one complaint I have about this movie is that at some point it just feels like a really extended ad for Legos.
Yeah.
Because they're like dealing with, I think, this tension of Lego of like, do you build the thing that like you have the directions for? And then like once you've built it, it's like kind of like once you put together a puzzle of like, then do you like Mod Podge the puzzle so you can keep it?
No, I think Dovka, like I think, like, I genuinely think Lego probably had a hand in the movie being like, this is what we want the message to be.
Yeah.
The end of the movie is like, you're not supposed to let Lego sit on a shelf. You're supposed to play.
It's what do you mean Lego had a hand? Lego made this movie.
Nah.
What? It is literally just an ad for Lego.
No, as in, I assume that, like, some guy had the idea for, a Lego-based... No, because Lego makes movies based on their, like, intellectual property. Like, no, they're, like, Ninjago Lego or Bionicle. Like, they have movie and lore behind them. I think... The studio wanted to make a movie based in Lego and then, like, had to get the rights and the approval from Lego.
Production. The development of the Lego movie began in 2008 when Dan Lin and Roy Lee discussed it before Lin left Warner Bros. To form his own production company, Win Pictures.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you can, like...
You're right, they bought the licenses okay.
Because they have their own movies, 100% they do. Like, anyway... Oh, like, I'm on Lego TikTok as well, unsurprisingly. Like, several different facets of Lego TikTok. And I came across this one guy recently who was like, Legos are meant to be played with. Like, when all of these people come in and buy the limited edition sets or whatever it is and, like, to resell them online, he's like, you're taking that away from a child. Like, it's literally a toy.
Oh, my God. Like, I just watched Beanie Mania. Have you seen? It's on HBO, and it's about, like, the craze in the 90s around Beanie Babies, which, like, was basically started by women in Chicago. Yeah. Like, these, like, three or four women who all lived on a cul-de-sac together bought up all these Beanie Babies. It's, like, crazy when people become obsessed with, like, the collector's edition or, like, that collection mentality where, then they have all these Beanie Babies that are, like, sitting in cases or, like, Legos that you put them together and then they're just supposed to stay like that forever.
And I think, like, I genuinely think Lego had a hand in, like, being, like, this is, like, Legos are for children to play with. Like, it's not about sitting on a shelf. It's about...
Right. And I think that it's like, I mean, I think that that's an interesting contrast with the movie and the Parsha because like Truma is really about like constructing something exactly how the directions are given.
But Truma is also about, and then taking it apart again.
Yeah.
Right. Like this idea of something has to be built and then super glued together. Like, the whole point of the Mishkan is that we can take it apart and carry it with us. And I think that that's what the movie's also highlighting. Lego was supposed to be broken down again for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You can rebuild it differently. Like, the difference is the different Lego.
There's a whole undercurrent of, like, creativity and, like, building something new and all of that, which is not meant to be done with the Mishkan.
It's not, but at the same time, I think we spoke about last week, or maybe we spoke about it in an episode that's coming out in the future that we recorded ahead of time. God imbues B'Tselah with, like, Ruach Elohim.
Right.
Right? God imbues, gives B'Tselah the guy who is, like, put in charge of building the Mishkan.
Right.
This forethought, this, like, knowledge of God, this, ability of creation that he then channels into the Mishkan.
Right.
So even though he's building it to, like, exact specifications, there's still that element of, like...
Right. I guess I was also thinking about B'Tselah in this Parsha in that... It's interesting, like, if B'Tselah is given this power from God in order to create the Mishkan, like, is that really creative power? Because B'Tselah, like, how much is B'Tselah creating something new versus, like, following directions in order to, like, it's like a paint-by-numbers or something like that, where it's still a creative act.
Right. No, I think, like, the ability to build it itself is its own...
Right.
Like, that's its own thing as well.
Right, like putting together IKEA furniture.
Exactly. Like, either you can do it or you can't.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, to follow instructions, like, to be... Because this isn't just, like, IKEA furniture. This is, like, he has to sculpt things out of gold. And he has to, you know, weave tapestries and work with other people to do that.
Right.
And I think those, like, the physical acts of worksmanship are just as much creativity as coming up with a concept of something.
Interesting. Yeah, I think, like, you're right. Like, it's like the craftsman versus
like a woodworker. Like, we've invented the chair already, but you're gonna look at someone who, like, design, like,
Very
puts
true.
Together this chair from scratch and be like, you didn't invent the chair, like, back to the drawing
board.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
anyway. I hear you.
No, but listen to my metaphor.
Right. I get it. What was I going to say? But I mean, and that's similar to Lego, right? That it's like you're putting together pieces rather than like, even if you're making something new out of Lego, the pieces are still already created. And that seems actually similar to B'Tselem, and like the B'Tselem has the ability to take the raw material, like, but then once the raw material has been made into the thing, then it gets put together in the Mishkan.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I reckon.
It's like B'Tselem is the Lego maker. And then the Mishkan is the Legos.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I also think that, like, what was I going to say? Like, are you on Master Builder TikTok?
No.
I should say that differently because it sounds like you're saying something different. Master, space, builder.
Is it like it's a Lego TikTok?
So it's this guy who has a job. His name's Alex, I think. Basically, he's a master. Like, Master Builder is a title that you can get, like, at Lego. And it's usually people who work in the Lego parks. And he works. He actually just got a promotion. Very proud of him. But he was working, like, in a Legoland, and his job was like to sit at this little desk and like make things when kids would come up and ask him to make things. And he made really interesting, and he'd make like nameplates of his coworkers, and he'd make like really, really intricate. Like I remember he had
I don't know what you're, what motions you're making.
Like the Instax like cameras, but like what's the actual word that I'm...
Oh, a Polaroid camera?
Polaroid, yeah.
What, this is not... Polaroids don't have like all of the... she was like miming, like zooming in.
No, that was the thing coming out.
Oh, I see.
I'm not an actor.
No, you're not.
Mime. So he had like a Polaroid model where like you click the button and like the thing came out. Like he just had really cool designs that he was making all the time. And I think that's also like a different sort. Like he wasn't doing it out of like the three different levels. Like the ability to create itself, like through the instruction, the ability to like, of, and then like the ability of just like STEM creation without that. And like, that's also what the movie's about. The movie's about these, like in the movie, master builders are also ones who can build without instruction,
right?
And just like throw things together. Also, the random list of master builders is so funny in the movie.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal's there.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman's there. Batman.
Right. I think it was just, again, because those are like Lego characters. No, 100%. Exist. Yeah.
And also the, like the guy obsessed with space from the 80s, which is like clearly one of the first Legos of like just like an astronaut.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He cracked me up.
So good. I was going to make another like kind of meta connection to the Torah portion, which is, I think there's like a big, one of the questions within the Torah portion is like, why does God need a physical house?
Right.
And so there's like the commentators kind of go crazy over like, is this foreshadowing? Like God knows that the Israelites are going to build the golden calf, and because they're still used to this idea of like you worship gods through a physical place, like they're just used to Avodah Zarah around them, and so they need something physical. And like the same, we have the same conversation about like Judaism as a sacrificial religion, right? Like, is there a way that like the Beit HaMikdash was supposed to be destroyed because like we were supposed to move away from like this sacrificial model?
Yeah.
And so I think, like, what's interesting about that is, like, the animation of a space. And I feel like that comes in with the, like, playing with Lego and, like, the stories that you create within the Lego versus, like you don't really need Lego in order to, like, have those stories or have that imagination. Right. Like, but, like, having the physical space or the physical pieces is, like, what allows, like, the little boy in the story to make up this whole... like narrative.
Yeah.
Are you impressed?
I'm very impressed. I vibe it.
I really thought I needed to like do a little more after last week. So I was like, I'm going to really.
Last week, where we spent 30 seconds being like, and also this week's Parsha. I think one of my favorite parts of the movie is when the dad's like, now your sister can also play down here.
Yeah.
And then the Duplo blocks that come in crack me up.
Right. I mean, it's interesting the contrast between like Lego and like Playmobil is really popular. Like in, like when I was in France, it was like everything was Playmobil.
Yeah.
But Playmobil, like, things are really, like, what they are. Like, you can, like, rearrange them, and it's, like, they have houses, and they have cars, and they have all those things.
It's a very different age, Playmobil.
Yeah, but it has the same, like, collector's quality of, like, the family that I lived with had, like, so much Playmobil.
What's the Jewish Playmobil called? I can't remember.
There's Jewish Playmobil.
There's, like, but it's, like, not, like, it's, like, so specific. But it's not Playmobil. They're, like softer plastic figurines. I'm looking up Jewish toys. Because, like, I will find it.
Weird.
Very popular. This is it. Yeah, the Kinderwelt. Do you have Kinderwelt?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send you Kinderwelt.
Yes, send me a link. I want to see.
Kinderwelt.
No, I was really a Beanie Baby girl, to be honest. My brother was into Legos.
My brother never let me play with his Legos.
You did mention that.
It was sad.
I don't know if we weren't allowed to have Barbies or if my mom just wasn't interested in them or if I wasn't interested in them, but
I had Barbies. I never had Bratz dolls. It freaked me out that you could just take off their feet.
That's so specific. Bratz were after my time. That's a generational difference
I had Mycene dolls.
Oh, I remember those, but again, after my time.
Yeah. I tweeted about this, true generational difference. I was at Shabbos lunch, and I mentioned OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And it was, like, this was lunch. It was, like, me and three families, like, young parents who were, like, I'd say, like, mid-30s,
mm-hmm.
and their kids were, like, off playing. The oldest kid, there was maybe 8.
Okay.
And so I was at the table with all of the adults, because
you were at the big kids table.
I'm an adult now. Yeah. Like, literally, she was, like, kids at this end, adults at this end, and I was, like, I'm in between. Like, so I was at the adults table and they were like, talking about stuff and like it came up organically. I was like, oh, it's like OnlyFans. And they were all like, what is that? And I was like, no, you guys. And they're like, no, what is that? They're also all friends with Michael Emerson and he so saw funny. My tweet and like brought it up to me. And he's like, I think they were fake. I was like, no, Michael, like you can't fake that.
It's bizarre.
You cannot fake that.
I do think it's like people are shocked by it. Like, because in the new season of Cheer, they're talking about it because the people that were famous from the first season.
Yeah.
Right? Like, OnlyFans is where you can record videos, Yeah. And so, like, people that were famous from the first season, it's like, you would see them, they would just be, like, at the nail salon or, like, they would be hanging out with people and they would just be, like, recording video after video. Why are you putting your hand over your mouth like that?
Because I found this Kinderwelt pack that is called the Rosh Yeshiva set. And it comes with Rosh Yeshiva, it comes with Rebbe, it comes with two Rebbetzins.
Wait, one Rebbe and two Rebbetzins?
Well, no, because there's the Rosh Yeshiva.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the Rebbe.
Got it. That's funny.
I never had Kinderwelt because, like, my parents were normal. But, like, my very good family friends who are, like very Chabad, they had Kinderwelt. And it's just so funny to me.
It's not loading. Kind of related to children. Mm. The idea that you would give written directions and that, like, they would be expected to be able to build the Mishkan from that is, like did you read on Al HaTorah, like, that virtual model that they had? It was, like, they were, like, there are several things that, like, you don't realize how confusing it is until you, like...
I think the menorah is one of those things. And I'm pretty sure I remember a midrash that, like, Hashem showed Moshe images of what everything was supposed to look like.
Oh, interesting. That makes a lot more sense because I was like, we did that. Like, it's like a common arts exercise that you like show a picture and like one student can see it and has to describe it to the other student. Yeah. And like, it's really difficult to, wow, these are funny. These Kinderwelt toys. The idea is that they're like appropriate toys.
Yeah, they're from like it's like a from family. So they have different family packs. They have a Pesach pack that I'm on just
Google. Wow, the Rosh Yeshiva and the Rebbe is so funny.
Oh my God, the Kinderwelt Pesach pack, the Pesach set is Chacham Rasha Tam and Shein Eloi there show. Like the four sons.
Wow.
They've got family packs. I remember I was in a store once and they had like the whole family and then you could buy booby separately.
Wow, the Mazel Tov set. It's called the Mazel Tov set, but it's just somebody getting married.
It's amazing.
It's like a bride and a groom.
There's this set, it's called the Volunteer Pack, so it's got the Shomrim who are like the community cops.
And it's got Hatsola guy.
There's a Refua Shleimah pack.
It's so funny. There's a Yerushalayim pack where it's got like people like Hasidim, but like in the Yerushalmi getup.
Yeah.
Like the proper
I'm looking at it.
And like,
these are wild. Y'all should look these up.
They're amazing.
Are you going to get these for your children?
Oh my God, no.
Are there toys that you
honestly maybe
there's a 3D Beis Hamikdash puzzle.
Yeah, I know, you can buy that at like every
gift shop.
Yeah,
I love them. I want one
honestly
so bad.
I might get Kindle. I just think they're funny.
Oh my God, they have the Kosel.
Amazing.
It literally spelled with an S, the Kosel.
Yeah, the Kosel. They have a Kindervelt bucket. It's a whole bucket of Kindervelt.
Wow. These are
they've
funny.
Got the extended family set. Like, honestly, I'd get it for my kids because it's, like, momish. Like, it's a very specific type of Jewish representation. But, like, it's representation in their toys they're playing
yeah.
with.
We should make, like, a competing one. Or that's
like Egal Kindervelt.
Yeah, like a woman wearing tefillin. Wow. These are funny.
And you can buy, bedroom sets. You can buy, like, the baby's bedroom.
Okay, do you feel like there are any toys that would be off limits for your children?
Bless you. Yeah, I wouldn't let them play with forks near an electric outlet.
Like, my mom wouldn't let us have guns. Like,
oh, interesting.
My brother had to, like, beg, and finally he got Nerf guns when he was, like, 12 or something.
I think those stuff my mom didn't buy us because she, like, thought it was dumb. I don't think there's anything, like, ideologically. I don't think I'd let my kids play with, like, guns and, like, bows and arrows are fun, but, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm also somehow on like Montessori parent TikTok. and they talk a lot about the idea of between like, toys that like have like one very clear use and toys that they can like use their imagination to do like multiple things.
Yeah.
With. I can't think of anything like I wouldn't let my kids play with in terms of like toys that exist.
Well, right. Cause like it was the same thing with, I feel like Barbies for my mom, it was like a feminist thing of like, I don't know that that's true or that I just, but I, cause I remember being interested in Barbies, but I didn't have any.
And if anything, my mom pushed Barbies.
Yeah. She was like, I can tell you're queer.
You've seen the pictures of me as a child. It's not that far off. I liked a good game of dress up.
Okay, did we... How long have we been recording for? Okay, I think we did the thing, Shoshana. What do you think?
I'm tweeting. Give me 1 second.
Are you kidding me? I love the song in this movie, too. Everything is awesome.
Oh, it's great. It's Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah. Everything... I was babysitting once, and the kid was like, can we listen to that really good song, Everything is Awesome? And I was like, of course.
It's Tegan and Sarah and The Lonely Island. Like, yeah. It's insane.
It's so good.
I was nominated for an Oscar.
Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
Oh, I also, like, one last Pasha thing. One specific guy being plucked aside as the special, who is the key to everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically just any fantasy, like, prophecy story. I think you can apply it to Moshe, but also you can apply it to Bezalel. Like, God has a very clear person in mind who he thinks can build the Mishkan.
Interesting.
Also, the other thing I wanted to say.
It's true. I did think about the fact that I'm like, I usually don't like movies that are just about like one white dude, but because it's
a Lego,
I felt a little better about it.
I did have a couple of other points I completely forgot about. One, these directors like very rarely miss like hit after hit. Movies. Like, they just make awesome movies.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
So many good movies. Like, it's Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. Christopher Miller actually just created the After Party that I was telling you to watch before.
Okay.
And Phil Lord, I think, directed. They produced The Last Man on Earth. They produced Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. They directed the 21 Jump Street movies. Which are really funny.
Yeah.
Like, they got, like, some good shit under the belt, not only as directors and writers, but as producers as well.
Cool.
They produced Brigsby Bear, one of the most underrated movies of the 2010s. So good. You know Kyle Mooney from SNL?
Yeah.
So you know how he's, like, his humor is so just, like, abstract and absurd? So he takes them and, like, puts it into a movie, and it actually works in long form.
Cool.
But it's really, really cool. I'm a huge fan. But yeah, huge fan of them. And my last thing is a question that I have to pose to you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Which is, please discuss, Emmett, the main character, played by Chris Pratt, is a golem.
I need you to remind me of the characteristics of a golem.
Golem is someone made, or it's, like, made, the most, like, the most famous example, made from clay.
Right.
With the word Emmett written on their forehead. And it comes to life to protect. Like, an inanimate object that comes to life to protect the Jewish people, essentially.
Interesting.
Or is used in that way. It literally says Emmett on his leg. It says Emmett. His name is Emmett.
I get it now.
Emmett.
That's so funny, because I was thinking about that during the movie. It's something that, it's funny that Emmett is an English name, but nobody, like, it's totally a name that could be work in both Hebrew and English, except nobody would name their child Emmett in Hebrew. Yeah.
I was thinking about that the whole time I was watching it. I was like, it says Emmett on his leg. It says Emmett.
Wow, right, that is brilliant, Shoshana. Brilliant insight.
And then I tweeted about it once, like last year, year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, yeah, that was intentional. I was like, I don't think
that's
Phil...
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, I don't think Phil Lord or Christopher Miller are Jewish.
No. But maybe someone else who worked on the movie was.
Maybe if I keep reading on the IMDb page, I'll find it.
Yeah. That is, like, an interesting conspiracy theory, though. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
That his name is Emmett.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Everything is awesome. Do you want to cast?
Yeah.
Tell them who we're casting.
So this week we're casting the Mishkan, or the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash.
I think both.
As real life buildings.
Yeah. I have the Beit HaMikdash. It's the easiest.
Okay, you do the Beit HaMikdash. I'm going to do the Mishkan.
Okay.
The Mishkan, I'm going to cast it as, you know, in the newer version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
When there's the chocolate Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
That then melts on them.
Nice.
I think the Mishkan is the chocolate Taj Mahal.
I just thought of a really cool Mishkan, though.
Okay.
So can I do both?
Sure.
I think the Mishkan is in the movie Avatar with the blue people. Mm-hmm. 2009, James Cameron's Avatar. The tree. The tree that, like... is
the tree of life?
The tree that has their life force in it is the Mishkan. Because it gets cut down.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. I need you to...
Okay, then I have a Beit HaMikdash.
Okay. Oh, you said base! Yeah, from now. wrecked. Okay, pop up in Google.
Oh, sorry.
You can play along at home too, but this is just instruction for...
Okay, I'm ready. What am I typing in?
Typing in Bells, B-E-L-Z, Great Synagogue. Because it's literally modeled after the Beit HaMikdash. It's supposed to look like that. I just, like, clicked through the photos.
It does. It looks like what I imagine the Beit HaMikdash looks like.
Oh, a Beit HaMikdash. I went on a tour there once in Sem. It was wild. It's huge. Like, unnecessarily gigantic.
This is in Jerusalem. Have you been inside it? You've been inside it. That's what you're just saying. You said you took a tour of it.
Yeah, to go to the Ezra's Nashim, though, classic. So we're only in the women's section. We're not into the men's section.
The Ezra's Nashim.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you're speaking another language when you use, like, the Ashkenazi pronunciation.
I see this story all the time. I used to have friends at B'nai who would say Hashkacha Pratit, and I was like, what are you saying to me?
The first...
Hashkacha Pratit. And I was like, oh, it's Hashkacha Pratis. I understand now.
The first time, I had never heard of the Chasam Sofer.
Yeah.
But apparently I have some family that's, like, descended from
him. Chasam Sofer.
Yeah. But so then when I said it to Yarden, she was like, why are you pronouncing it that way? And I was like, I didn't know there was another way to pronounce it. Like,
yeah, the Chasam Sofer. Okay. I know you said we're not allowed to pick up laptops anymore, Eli Sound Guy. I am going to do it, though, just very briefly. Look at this picture.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
Look at all those Chasidim.
This is in the Great Synagogue.
I think so. Or they also sometimes build... This is the basement.
Yeah.
They also sometimes build... Like, they have a huge outside space, and they sometimes build scaffolding, like, seating scaffolding there as well.
Cool. Okay, my... what's your base? Beit HaMikdash is... you know, in Atlantis?
Yes!
The movie. like the castle main building in Atlantis. It's good. I watched it on the plane.
It's so underrated.
It's really underrated.
The Disney movie that's most deserving of having a live action adaption.
Yeah.
You know how good that would be?
100%.
At Disney, I know you listen to us. You listen to everything that everyone does. Yeah. Disney, please.
Disney.
Please, Disney.
You know, there's like Atlantis a little drone that follows around. Anytime Disney is mentioned, it's like,
exactly. Boop. Excuse me, Atlantis live action.
You're right.
Here's a fun casting game that has nothing to do with Judaism. Who would you cast as Kida? Who would you cast as both of them?
Okay. Kida is the woman.
Yeah.
The Atlantean. Kida Kakash.
Kikakashnaga. I could quote that movie by heart.
I would. Watch that okay, tonight. This is the thing is I feel like I overcast Zendaya, but I really think that...
That's so interesting. I was thinking Zoe Kravitz.
Ooh, yeah. Either one could work. No, Zoe Kravitz should be her mother.
Zoe, how old do you think Zoe Kravitz is?
I don't care.
No, if anything, Zoe Kravitz is Kida, and then Lisa Bonet is her mother. Because they look the same, because it's mother-daughter.
Yeah, I'll accept
and
that.
And then who's my skinny white guy? I have to think.
Timothy Chalamet.
No! Stop ruining things with Timothy Chalamet! No! He doesn't have the vibe.
He's so cute.
Timothy Chalamet does not have the Milo vibe.
Okay, you're right. Are you literally Googling skinny white actor?
No. I'm Googling white skinny guy actors. Well, that's an option.
Who?
Not Timothy Chalamet. Either someone like... Oh, Eli says Cole Sprouse. Nah, Cole Sprouse pisses me off and he's not good enough of an actor. Logan Lerman. Or Ada, what's his name? Asa Butterfield from Sex Ed. But he's like too nerdy. He doesn't have like everything. I reckon Logan Lerman is a good option. Another option would be, what's that guy's name?
What about like Harry Styles?
No.
Come on. What about Shia LaBeouf?
No, I feel like he's too old.
What about... I actually did have an idea that wasn't Shia LaBeouf. What about
Alex Wolff?
Who's Alex Wolff?
Look him up. He's from the Naked Brothers Band.
Okay. Yeah. I could see it. He's got the curly hair.
Yeah.
He has a mole.
He's a good actor. Milo doesn't have a mole.
I'm just saying, I don't know. It was kind of a joke.
or the kid who played Riff in the new, even though he's like 30 or so, in the new West Side Story.
Who's what if we made it like a queer movie? Like, what if it's a woman, like a nerdy woman instead?
In that case, I know exactly who it is.
Who?
Mackenzie Davis. San Junipero. Like, she's got that glasses vibes going. Like, okay. She could pull it off. Mackenzie Davis, and I still think Zoe Kravitz.
Cool.
Done.
I'm down. Yeah, I think we just have to make more movies.
Yo, I want that movie so bad. It's gonna explode.
We should pitch it. Who knows somebody at Disney?
Holy
put us in touch.
Crap, I want that movie so bad.
Yeah, I would watch the shit out of that.
Also, I'm gonna mention it before we go. We secretly made merch and then haven't posted about it.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to post about it, but we do have merch now. If you're interested, it will be on our Instagram story.
Yeah.
You have to decide what you want because you have to buy samples so we can wear them.
Oh,
and
my God.
Model
what
it.
Do I want?
But, yeah, so if you like merch, you can buy a yoga mat with our logo on it. you can buy so much. I think we should release a special episode, which is just me listing the things that you can buy with our logo on it.
Oh, my God. I think we should release a special episode that's you doing yoga on a yoga mat.
Well, so it's just the audio of me going...
That shouldn't be what yoga sounds like, Shoshana.
No, I've never done it. My brother did yoga for a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, he basically did that thing where he went until he thought he was good enough and then just did it at home. And when he went, he was like, it felt like a Bodhisattva. He was like, they kept saying om and namaste.
Namaste.
And they had like chants at the beginnings and end. He was like, I just like, he's like, I straight up thought it was a Bodhisattva. And I was like, you know, I it is. Like,
yeah,
it is religious practice that has been co-opted by white people.
Namaste.
And they use religious, like, they use religious words and they use religious iconography, and it's...
The light in me recognizes the light in you.
Yeah, and that is a...
Namaste.
This is now in a
Vodazara. I say that to your dental. This is now in a Vodazara podcast. I think it's so funny.
Well, I will start davening again if it means that I can get Mackenzie Davis and Zoe Kravitz in an Atlantis movie.
Yeah, make it your bakashot, boo. Like, literally. Live your truth. Hashem is
that's
listening.
What davening's for, right?
Yeah.
That's not misappropriating davening, right, you guys? Right?
Okay, anyway. This has been Pop Culture Parsha. Next week, we're going to watch for... what's the name of the Parsha next week?
Yeah, Tetzaveh.
So for Tetzaveh, we are watching The Devil Wears Prada.
Hell yeah, I've been waiting for this one.
It's going to be so good.
Oh, remember when we came up with it? We were like, this is going to slap.
It's
going
to be so good.
Oh, I've been meaning to watch this for so long, and I've been putting it off because of this podcast, because I knew we were doing it for ages.
And you know what? Yarden has never seen it. Or doesn't remember if she's seen it or not.
You know what you've never seen? 2003's Holes.
I haven't.
Ridiculous.
Okay. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
I'm not. I'm not fine with that. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Bye. We love you.
Bye-bye.